Sociologists over the decades have charted social change here in the U.S. through a survey. We're talking about it on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. There's this long-standing social science survey that's taken the pulse on our social and cultural views since the early 70s. About a decade ago, the survey started including questions on sexual identity, and there are new trend lines to report. An increasing number of women are identifying as bisexual, but men, not so much. What do you think this says about the nature of human sexuality? Are you bisexual but don't feel like our culture fully accepts you and your identity? Why is that? Join in this discussion at 800-642-1234. Paula England is a sociology professor at New York University, where she focuses on sexual behavior, gender, and labor markets. Paula, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks. Good to be here.
So every couple of years, this general social survey comes out. It's this data mapping of social changes, lots of data for you to look at. And one of the most recent ones saw this increase in the number of women who report they're bisexual. You've seen a similar change in your research. What do you find?
Yeah, the recent study showed in younger women, 8% were saying they're bisexual. I did a study using a different survey, also of the whole nation, and for women born between 1985 and 1995, 7% said they're bisexual. And an even higher percent say they've at least had one same-sex sexual partner. 20% said they were attracted sexually to both men and women. And these are, you know, these are big upticks from what was true before. So something's going on.
What might that something be? What do you make of these upticks?
Well, one idea I have goes like this. You know, we've had what we sometimes call the gender revolution, meaning, you know, women's roles have changed so much, say, in the last 40 years or something. You know, more women are employed, women are in jobs that used to be only for men, you know, women are athletes, women are clergy, they're in the military. So there's been a lot of opening up of what roles are seen as okay for women. And so you could see this as just kind of a part of that. It's always been seen to be gay or to be lesbian, to be bisexual, to have a same-sex partner as not conforming to gender norms. And in a sense, all the change that's happened has given women more permission not to always be conforming to traditional gender norms. And this might be just part of that.
So there could be this opening right now for more acceptance?
Yes.
What do you find for the men you looked at? Is the number of men who identify as bisexual higher among the younger generations?
The research that I've done and that others have done from this survey you mentioned sees some increase in men having had a same-sex partner, but doesn't see an increase in men identifying as bisexual or an increase in men identifying as gay, as far as I've seen. So it really looks like this trend is happening in women much more so than in men. And that's kind of interesting. And I think one reason for that is I think, you know, men and women that are not completely heterosexual may encounter what we sometimes call homophobia or, you know, bias against them. Attitudes about this have changed a lot. You know, like the attitudes towards same-sex marriage being okay have changed dramatically, the same survey shows. But in general, things where men are not conforming to a traditional gender norm, which says, you know, you're heterosexual and you're fully employed, you know, and you aren't the main person doing housework and childcare and all those kind of norms, and you're tough rather than vulnerable. Those norms about men have changed a lot less than for women. And I think that may be a big reason why we haven't seen as much change in men. biases against it are just so much greater.
We're talking about the latest in social science research on sexual identity. Paula England is with us. She is a sociology professor at NYU, where she focuses on sexual behavior and gender. With more women identifying as bisexual, what do you think this says about the nature of human sexuality? How have your feelings about your own sexual identity changed over time, maybe even decades, from young person to adulthood? Join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Paula, in the context of your research and researchers like you, sociologists like you, what do you mean when we say bisexual? Is this person who has had sex with both genders, or are there other stipulations?
Well, one of the interesting things about asking people's identity on a survey is that the survey question doesn't say, here's our definition of bisexual, right? It just asks people, you know, do you consider yourself gay, lesbian, bisexual, heterosexual? I think those are the options that we're given. They've experimented with giving some other options. But so it's a matter of what it means to the person, right? I can tell you that in the data, there are more than twice as many women who say they have ever had a same-sex partner and have also had a male partner. That's 20%. Only 7% identify as bisexual. So, you know, I think based on qualitative research, a lot of times what people mean by it is, I'm attracted to both sexes. I'm open to having a relationship with either sex.
Even with increased acceptance, as you mentioned, of gay and lesbian relationships, is there still a stigma out there to bisexuality? What does that look like?
Well, I think there still is a stigma against, to some extent, against anybody in the LGBT community. You just had a news story right before we came into the show about that. But I think that there's also an extra stigma that may be faced by bisexual people, which is sometimes they may feel that they don't fit, you know, they have some bias against them in the straight community, but there's also some bias against them in the gay community. Now, the umbrella kind of movement of LGBT or LGBTQIA, whatever, has tried to, you know, create some solidarity between these groups, and that's often successful. But still, people report that they sometimes, you know, find bias in both communities.
From an academic perspective, do you see that there is more research going on in bisexuality than before over the decades?
Yes, and one reason for that is that among women, this isn't true among men, but more women are reporting that they identify as bisexual than report they identify as lesbian. And actually, that has been true for quite a while. It's not, you know, just something in the last 5 years. So, you know, if this is a phenomenon that's as large and actually a little bit larger than people identifying as lesbian, then it needs to be studied.
Looking at the ways that cultural expectations have changed as women explore their sexual identity and what this means for human sexuality in a broader sense, Paula England is a sociology professor at New York University. Are you someone who didn't previously consider yourself attracted to the same sex, but that changed as you grew older? What have you noticed? Why do you think that happened? Join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. Back in a minute here on the Ideas Network. Talking about sexual identity and why the percentage of women reported that they're bisexual has spiked over the past decade. One of the takeaways is that young people today are willing to explore their sexuality. We're talking about it here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Have you noticed a big shift in the way people accept those who don't identify as straight? Men, Do you feel there are additional barriers in the way of your gender, having the freedom to explore your sexuality? Why is that? There's time for your thoughts at 800-642-1234. And New York University sociologist Paula England is our guide on this. She researches sexual behavior and gender. Paula, if the increases that we see in bisexual women is because we're more accepting, perhaps, of doing things men would normally do, we're seeing more acceptance in our society, what does this tell us about the way we value things that women would normally do, like, you know, be with a man?
Right. Well, you know, that's a really interesting question because before I got into researching on sexuality, what I was studying was the sex gap in pay. And one of the things that I learned studying this is that in the workplace, the more the work you're doing is seen as a traditionally female job, the less it gets paid. You know, sort of after we, you know, adjust for like how much education does it require and things like that. Mm-hmm. So in other words, men and women in traditionally female jobs, say requiring a high school degree, get paid less than men and women in traditionally male jobs that requires a high school degree, and the same for a college degree, et cetera. And so to me, that does show some that the culture devalues whatever is feminine as seen as feminine. And you know, so all these changes that we've seen are sort of, yeah, women can do more masculine things because we always respected that stuff more anyhow. We just didn't let women into the club, right? Mm-hmm. And that's changed, and women are allowed to do more of that. I mean, they still face some barriers, but I think the devaluation of things seen as feminine kind of is still there in a lot of ways, in the workplace. And you could say that because men engaging in same-sex behavior is seen culturally as less masculine, that, you know, again, that's part of why there's so much bias against it. And that it's of one piece with the, you know, devaluation of jobs seen as more female.
Paula, let's look at pornography for a moment and how we've seen this making its way into our cultural norms. Do we see this devaluation of the feminine in the types of porn that has become so popular?
You know, I don't know if I would call it devaluation of the feminine, but what I would say about pornography is that in the main, it focuses on what's pleasurable for men, but it makes it look like whatever's pleasurable for men, women are just dying for too. But one thing that's relevant to, you know, bisexuality, some people have asked me the question, well, in pornography consumed by men a lot, it's seen as sexy to have some, you know, woman-on-woman sexual action, right? And so might the acceptability of this, of women having female partners, be partly just because, well, men think it's titillating to watch? You know, I think there is something to that, and that may explain part of why we see, you know, heterosexual women kissing women on the dance floor at parties and things like that. It's more for men's titillation. But I think that most women who are calling themselves bisexual, you know, are really interested in a private sexual relationship with a woman, not just titillating men. One piece of evidence for that is in this other survey that I did some research on, most women who say they've had sex with a woman have had oral sex with a woman, for example, you know, not just kissing or something like that.
What do you think this all says, you know, stepping back about the nature of human sexuality as a whole? Will we continue to see quite a bit of uptick and changes as you look at this data mapping as it goes on, you know, decades from now?
Well, it's hard to predict the future, mm-hmm. but I might expect continued increases. I think what it really tells us is that sexuality is very malleable by culture, by, you know, social circumstances. Because obviously, if exactly how we were, you know, who we're attracted to and who we have sex with was 100% hardwired, then we wouldn't see change over time. You know,
right.
It's not like the gene pool of our nation has changed that much. Now, on the other hand, that does not mean that sexuality and who you're attracted to is 100% socially determined either. I think it's a mix of, you know, some people may be biologically hardwired to be attracted only to same-sex partners, some only to other sex partners, some may be, it could be open either way in terms of their biological wiring, but if the culture sort of, you grow up and the culture says, hey, the default option is everybody's heterosexual, then if that works fine for you, you may never question it.
Mm.
But then if there is more cultural acceptance, then some people who do feel the attraction may act on it, and the very attraction itself may be sometimes affected by social ideas about, you know, what's appropriate or what would be normal. So I think, you know, both biology and social things are in play here, but the fact that it's changing is telling you that something about the social situation is changing, and making this more, you know, more inviting for more women.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about sexual identity and recent trends with New York University sociologist Paula England, and she studies sexual behavior and gender in her work. Paula, while we've just touched briefly on the gender revolution, the gay rights movement, making it easier for women to identify themselves as bisexual, what obstacles do you see that are still out there as we look at our society?
Well, here's a mundane one. Same-sex relationships between women run up, in terms of a long-term partnership, run up against the sex gap in pay, because instead of having, you know, either a man and a woman or two men, you have two women, and women tend to earn less than men. So that in itself may be a barrier to long-term same-sex relationships between women.
Is that budging at all?
The sex gap in pay?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it continues to narrow, but much more slowly. The big progress on that was really in the 80s, and since then it's narrowed, but very slowly. You know, it's still a big factor.
What might the Me Too movement have had in that pay gap movement, if anything at all? Has there been any research on parallels there?
You know, that's a really interesting question, you know, and I really don't know. I will say that I think the relevance of the Me Too movement, you know, which is mostly about having there be some negative consequences for men who essentially sexually harass women in the workplace, that's partly about taking women's sexual agency seriously, which includes the right to not want to have sex with someone and not be sexually harassed by them. And it's kind of a piece with the same thing if we take women's sexual agency seriously enough to think that they may choose women partners, and also that in heterosexual relationships, women's pleasure is taken more seriously than it has been in the past.
So there's a lot to watch here as a sociologist. Where do you think the research focus should be as we wrap up here?
Well, all sorts of things need to be studied. You know, I think that we need to, I would say a real focus is look at how this plays out over the life cycle. Is this something, for example, these women identifying as bisexual, fast forward to when they're 50, do most of them end up married to men? Do they end up married to men, but if they broke up, they might get a women partner the next time? You know, those are things we need to study.
Paula, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Paula England is a professor of sociology at New York University. Coming up, a mandate by the federal government involving small refineries continues to frustrate the oil industry. Meanwhile, exemptions to the federal rule are concerning to the biofuels industry and corn farmers here in the Midwest. We'll break it down, learn the latest on ethanol policy after this news update. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.